If I may start this new cycle with just a short insight. We all know that Heilige Chofetz Chaim, it was one of the Talmidim of the Chofetz Chaim. I'm not sure. Once I heard he was a Talmid, once I heard he was his son-in-law. He traveled once in a train with a train going towards the convention, to one of the conventions. I'm not sure if that's the convention that recently was, recently we have a live recording of it, or was that convention or not, another. And many people traveled by train to that very special event. And was it, I'm not sure if it was a Talmud or son-in-law of the Chofetz Chaim, and other Chassidim and Talmidim of other Tzaddikim. And the Chassidim, they were sharing with each other, tell me, can you tell me Moifus of your Rebbe? What's your Rebbe like? Can I show off your Rebbe? What can he do? And he said the Moifus of his Rebbe, I don't know which Rebbe it was, the Moifus, the Gewaldige Moifus, that his Rebbe, he said, well, no, let me see, what can your Rebbe? He said, ach, this is nothing. I'll tell you what my Rebbe can do. My Rebbe, he said this, and that happened. And they were showing off the Rebbe's Maisim. And then they turned to this Talmud of the Chofetz Chaim. He said, no, let me hear you. No, Chofetz Chaim, the Heilige Chofetz Chaim, what is he like? What? Let's hear Moifus of the Heilige Chofetz Chaim. So he said, I'll tell you something. But the Heilige Chofetz, all the stories that you're saying are all beautiful, beautiful proofs and evidence and rayas of Tzaddik Goyzer v'Akadosh Baruch Hu Mekayim. That the Tzaddik is Goyzer, the Tzaddik says something. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mekayim, the Tzaddik says something. And the Ribbono Shel Olam listens to the Tzaddik at Kivyochel. Tzaddik Goyzer v'Akadosh Baruch Hu Mekayim. By the Heilige Chofetz Chaim, it's the other round. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's the other round. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu Goyzer v'Tzaddik Mekayim. Everything the Ribbono Shel Olam says, that's how he's Mekayim. That's the Moifus of the Heilige Chofetz Chaim. It's the other round. Tzadik goes by Kodesh Baruch Hu Mekayim. That's gewaldige Meile. But even a gressere Madrege is a Kodesh Baruch Hu Goyzer with Tzadik Mekayim. This, I think, is the most beautiful and the purest understanding of the Chofetz Chaim's Mahalach, the Chofetz Chaim's Derech, to understand exactly what the Rebbe Shem wants from us. And I think this story just is a beautiful opening, for Shivisa Hashem Nenek the Summit. We're going to be learning tonight the opening words of the Ramah, Shivisa Hashem Nenek the Summit, the most appropriate word to start a new cycle, the most appropriate word of starting Shulchan Aruch Erech Chaim, Simen Aleph, Sif Aleph, Shivisa Hashem Nenek the Summit. And I think without any further delays, without any further divrei psicha, let us see what taka is HaKadosh Baruch Hu Goyzer. Din Hashkamas HaBoyker. The din, the halachas of Hashkamas HaBoyker, how a person should stand up, how a person should wake up, Lavoides Boiroi. Yizgabe Kari. A person should wake up, Kari, like a lion. Yizgabe Kari. Lamoi, to stand up, Baboika, in the morning, Lavoidas Boiroi, to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam, Shehu Ma'oire HaShachar, he should be, as opposed to the day waking him up, he should wake up the day, as we say. He should be early up, shouldn't be one of those shluffers. That's the first halacha of Shulchan Aruch. Yizkabe Kari, should wake up early, Lamoi Baboika, Lavoidas Boiroi, Shehu Ma'oire HaShachar. It's famous, I heard this once, B'Shem, the Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld. But I once heard about all the tzaddikim, but it's very likely that he was Rebbe Chaim Zonnenfeld, Yerushalayim Rav, the famous Yerushalayim Rav. He was very particular, even his old age. He would wake up very, very early. He would wake up very early, although there was plenty of reason for him to delay a little bit. He would wake up very, very early and go to Mikvah Tahara and learn and say a bit of Tehillim before going to shul. And eventually, very early, you'd go to an early shachris. And although most people who'd go attend to that shachris be working people who had to wake up anyway to for their businesses, Chaim Zonnenfeld could have allowed himself, being the Rav of town, he could really allow himself to wake up a drop later to go to 8 o'clock minyan, and not the 6:30 minyan. But he didn't, when he was more what we'd call nowadays retirement age, he would still go with that very early shachris. And his talmidim asked him, Chaim, Yerushalayim Rav, why is it that you are going to that shachris? Why not allowing yourself to go a little bit? He said, listen, I'll tell you, after 120, I'm going to be called to a din, and I'll fail in many, many areas. I'll fail, but I don't want to fail with the very first sif in Shulchan Aruch. I don't want to be failing there. So at least I'm going to wake up early. Lavoidas boiro. At least that sif I should pass. Says the Mishnah Berurah in Sif Katan Aleph. Lavoidas boiro. Kilekach nivra oilam. A person should wake up to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam, because that's why a person was created. Kama she'amar kosuv kol hanikra bishmi velichvoidi barasiv. Everything was created for the Ribbono Shel Olam. Certainly us were certainly created to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam. Ve'af im yisaeinu yitzroi, even if the Yitzhor tells him, b'choyrev, in the winter, lema eich tamay b'voike, how can you wake up so early in the morning? Ka'koyr godl, it's freezing cold. In the summer, the Yetzora tells him, how can you even think about getting out of your bed? You still haven't done enough, you haven't slept enough. You need another half an hour at least. You should be stronger than Yetzora. Don't listen to Yetzora. He should think in his soul, if I would be commanded, if I would be privileged, in fact, to serve Lifnei before Melech, a king, boss of a dom in front of a human king, how quickly he would wake up and get up, he would have no problem getting up, to prepare ourselves for serving the Ribbono Shel Olam. It wouldn't be difficult for us. We all know what it's like when we've got a flight. We're all right. We can get up at 4:30 a.m. as well when it comes to not missing a flight. If important things, we know how to get up suddenly. If it comes to serving the Ribbono Shel Olam, we should be no less makpid to wake up on time. The Mishnah Berurah said in Sif Katan Beis, it brings a Shlach Kodesh, Hashachar. We should wake up early in the morning, Hashachar, B'shlokos Avsoid. A very important concept that the Shlach says, Lechabe Yoim V'loilo B'toiroi Tfile, Hen B'boikev, Hen B'erev. Once you try to combine night and day, and day and night, with Torah and Tefillah. So when the day comes, the starting of the day should be connected by Torah and Tefillah, and similarly in the evening as well. Continues the Mishnah Berurah in additional halachavi, which is not the Shlo, but he does say an additional halachavi here. Umiyat kshenis oirem mishnosoi, and when a person wakes up from his sleep, and he doesn't want to sleep anymore, yitul yodov, should straight away immediately wash negel vasa, av shenish amushkov, even if he intends to rest still for a little bit longer. Umikol shken shlo yelech ab ames, and kavachoymesh, a person should not walk that four amas blina till as yadayim without washing negel vasa. V'tzorich me'oid leizoyer beze. And a person should be very careful not to walk four amas without having washed negel vasa. I'm going to address this shortly. Just carry on a little bit. Mishnah Berurah to have the full picture. Uvezoyer hakodesh Mishnah Berurah brings a zoyer hakodesh. The Zohar HaKodesh is very strict about walking four amos without having washed negel vasa. Because a person, there is a certain ruach hatumah which lies on a person based on the fact that we know we lose some of our chiyus, a 60th of a person. When a person is sleeping, he loses some of his life, if one may say so. And there's a certain tumah. Death is always, even a limited death is always connected to tumah, and therefore a person who is sleeping the night sleep, there's a certain tumah which goes on him, and therefore a person has an obligation to wash negel vasa. It is a ruach hatumah on a person. Mikol mokim. Nevertheless, adds the Mishnah Berurah, chalila chas v'shalom lavo shum isra v'chisor netilas yadayim. A person may not transgress any isra, even at the rabbonon, because he doesn't have netilas yadayim. Kegoin latzoi atzmei melehashten adezei. If a person needs to be excused, we know there's an isra of refraining from going to the toilet, and a person has to. See, if a person knows that somebody will bring him negel vasa, a person will bring, but then he needs to wait, and in the meantime he needs to be excused. A person may not wait. A person may not be over about the shaktsu and delay being excused because a person ultimately, you need to go. So he says, you mustn't just go, and although it's going to be more than Dalet Amos, you're going to be walking more than Dalet Amos, because the walking Dalet Amos is only Al Pi Kabbalah. I mean, only it's Al Pi Kabbalah, and that's and we know that Al Pi Kabbalah, a concept which Al Pi Kabbalah overridden by Nigla. So therefore, Dalet Amos is Nidcha by the fact that a person by the Isra Balta Shaktsu. Alternatively, a person has got wants to take somebody else's very again yeshivas. If your roommate is still sleeping and you wanna take his Nagelwasser, can you do that? Because you don't want to be oiv on Dalet Amos, walking Dalet Amos. So nowadays, not such a big deal. You know, the water is quite accessible. But in previous generations, to get Nagelwasser, to get water into the house, wasn't so easy. So you mustn't do that. You mustn't take somebody else's Nagelwasser just because don't want to walk Dalet Amos. You can mamash replace it immediately, then it's okay. Some people are making mistakes over here. What happens if a person hasn't got water just accessible right next to him? If it does happen that water is quite distant, and there's nobody that can bring the water closer to him, Nagelwasser closer to him. Some people who are Bale Nefesh on a higher Madrega, if you do need to go more than Dalet Amos, if the water is further than Dalet Amos, says the Mishnah Berurah in the name of Yesh, Bale Nefesh, they walk less than Dalet Amos. The concept that we know also from Hilcha Shabbos, walking less than Dalet Amos, small steps, always, and then you stop, that you never go four Amos in one go, you stop, and like this, you're not really walking Dalet Amos, you're positioning yourself after a few steps again, short steps, and that's your place now, then you carry on walking a little bit, so you're always walking less than Dalet Amos, so thereby you don't really do Dalet Amos in one go, and therefore there's a room for leniency according to Bale Nefesh. Mishnah Berurah does, however, on that, the Kosev HaShari Tshuva, the Shari Tshuva is totally cholik on that, he disagrees, and he says, don't do that shtick, better just hurry up, go and wash Nagelwasser ASAP. It's the better approach according to the Shari Tshuva. Don't allow Ruach Ra to remain on your hands. Just go and wash Nagelwasser ASAP if you haven't got accessible right next to your bed. Some say, the lenient say, some are more lenient and say, the Damrin Kule Basic Kedalet Amos Domi. Now, I'm going to translate this in a way which is not so posh. Kule Basic, literally Kedalet Amos Domi. So some people hold that the whole bias is considered Dalet Amos. How would you normally translate Kule Basic Kedalet Amos? The whole house. That is the many people learned the Mishnah Berurah via saying Kula Basic Dalet Amos. The whole house is considered Dalet Amos. What would be according to that? I mean, I just want to read another few words just to have the whole picture. Don't rely on this concept of Kula Basic Dalet Amos unless you've got extreme needs for it. Even Mishnah Berurah says Kula Basic Dalet Amos only Beshas Hadchak. That's what Mishnah Berurah paskens. I just want to quickly address this point of Kula Basic Kedalet Amos. Literally, how do we translate Kula Basic Kedalet Amos? Kula Basa, the whole house, Kedalet Amos. Then when everything is under the same roof, according to that, in one house, B'shas Hadchak, the whole house, you can just walk to the next room, and Kula Basic Kedalet Amos. So if necessary, that would be that. Many poskim, early Achronim as well, point out that this may not be the accurate and precise translation. Many Achronim learn that bayis in various places actually means a room and not a house. Accordingly, many poskim pasken over here in Siman Aleph, they pasken like that as well. That according to that, if bayis means a room as opposed to a house, there is never a leniency to go outside of the room. Even b'shas hadchak, you can't leave the room. Even b'shas hadchak, you can't leave the room because we're never going to say kula beisa kedalet amos beyond the room. There is such an approach. I do know that there is these people are, our people are Mikkel, but I want to say it's not so poshut at all, because there's definitely an approach for many achronim, early achronim as well, that bais may mean indeed a room. According to that, even b'shasat chak, there wouldn't be really a kulah to go out of the room. I do know that many people are lenient, but I just want to point this out. Yes. Yeah, kula besa. Besa, you're emphasizing the word kula. Kula just means beyond the four amas. Bais, the definition of bais, according to Eli Rab, according to other, it actually means the room and not the house. Then it wouldn't be beyond the room. Because it's like as if you go outside of the house. Yeah. 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 Correct. I do know there is many people say that there is people who are more makel, and I just want to point out that it's not so posh, but the concept of kula besa, yes, it is. Yeah. I don't know anymore, but it is. Yeah. The Svar of Dalet Amos is always that a person, it's based on the concept that a person's height is generally about Dalet Amos, roughly. And therefore, a person has got a zone, his own zone is Dalet Amos. That's why on Hilchas Shabbos we find the concept as well. Correct. Yeah, but that's not because of Kula basic Dalet Amos, Tommy. That's of a different reason. It's Tamrish Yochit. Correct. There is that area that the Dalet Amos, correct. Yeah. There is a question which I want to address, which the contemporary poskim address. What happens in the middle of the night? Very common shaila. In the middle of the night, say you do, you wake up in the middle of the night. Do you have then, and you have slept already, do you have to wash negel vasa in the middle of the night? After 40 minutes sleep, you wash the negel vasa. Do you also have to do it right next to your bed, or is there room for leniency? The question, why would it be different? Why would it be different? So you say that there's no reason to be mechalek at all.
I think because if the person intent on going back to sleep immediately, surely there wouldn't be a need for it. Some people might fall awake and asleep repeatedly throughout the night. Supposing you're in a train or aeroplane disturbed, you might go in and out of sleep.
Good. Interesting. Lemaisa, the question is based on the fact that the Ruach Tumah has got Ruach Tumah already. One could argue, and that's your Hanocha Pshuta, it's got Ruach Tumah already, and therefore, if it's got Ruach Tumah in his hand, surely he should wash Negel Vasa straight away, even if he's going back to bed. Good, very good. So the Emes says that there are poskim Shlomo Zalman as well are makel when it comes to that particular shaila. They want to say that since it's not so poshut when the Ruach Tumah actually comes on a person, although it probably we generally assume that Ruach Tumah will come nearly immediately when a person sleeps. And I mean, if a person wakes up in the middle of the night, he would actually have an obligation to wash negel vasa. But since there is a tzad that it's only earlier in the morning, ba'alois ha'shachar, so b'tziruf that opinion, they say that yes, he does need to wash negel vasa, but it doesn't have to be right next to the bed. They want to therefore make a kula that Shlomo Zalman is makel that if a person does get up, he will have to wash negel vasa, but it doesn't have to be right next to the bed. Yeah.
If you want to get up and you've had enough sleep, that's when your chiv to wash negel vasa comes in.
Yes.
It seems like. So if you wake up and you want to go show up to sleep and you're not planning to get out of bed.
Right. You see that? They made the middle. Yeah, that's a nice duke. It's a nice duke. Base is yet, you're right. You're basing yourself on towards the beginning of Sif Cotton Base. And he doesn't want to sleep anymore. So it's that much more that if he does want to sleep, there's no obligation. Now, that's a nice duke. It's a certain chumrah that we are makbid. Is it that chumrah of not walking at all? That's from the Zohar HaKadosh. And is it that chumrah we don't have to accept when it comes to a suffix obligation? This is some level of suffix, and that chumrah we don't have to accept. That's what Reb Shlomo Zalman holds. Yeah. Okay. I want to point out something which I have a Kabbalah, which is interesting as well. The Mishnah Berurah does say, when he speaks about the halacha of Dalet Amos, and he brings the halacha, he said that you can't be makil of Kula Beitzah Kedalet Amos. He does say the words, I'd like to go over those words again. He says, Vim Eira, if it happens, Shamaim Rechoikim, Torah is quite far, Ve'elo, Mishay, Karvimalov, Nergu Ktasmin Balanef, Sholchim, Pochis, Pochis, Ma'ab Amos. And then he says that you mustn't be over on Avera for that. And certainly not take somebody else's water, and certainly not, I'm just want to see the words again. You certainly not over on Dabal Teshaktsu, and certainly not take somebody else's water. What about waking somebody up? If just the fact they're washing Negelwasser may wake somebody up, if you're privileged enough that you're going to maybe wake somebody up who sleeps in the same room. Same thing. So, mekublani, that if you really will wake somebody up, lichoyre, by washing. If the eisat, you're right, it might not be, you're right. If you're waking somebody up, I must emphasize that. If you're waking somebody up by washing in the room, then lichoyre, arguably the same halacha will apply. If there's other things which are going to wake up a minute later, you're going to wake up anyway, then this halacha won't apply, this kula won't apply. But if you are in that kind of position, that just washing negelwasser will wake somebody up, then lichayr, the same halacha will apply. Yeah, okay. The Rama continues the Rama. Va'al kol ponim, at the very least, lo ya'achiz man tefillah, do not delay the time of tefillah. So yes, one should wake up early in the morning, but at the very latest, don't delay the time of tefillah shal tzibur mispalim. Never wake up in a way they're going to be missing out tefillah b'tzibur. Says the Rama, agav shvisi Hashem l'neg di summit, one should always have in mind the Ribono shel Olam, as if it was before us, who klal gadol b'toira. This is an important rule in Torah over Milos HaTzadikim, on the levels of Tzadikim, Asher Hoylchim Lifnei Elohim, that walk before the Ribono Shel Olam, Ki Ein Yeshivas HaOdom. The way a person sits, Usni Oysov, and the way he moves, Ve'asokov, the way he deals, Ve'hu Levadoi Beveisoi, and he's on his own in his house, Ki Yeshivosoi, then the way that a person would sit, Usni Oysov, Ve'asokov, Lifnei Melech Godel. There's no comparison to where a person is in privacy than if a person is in front of a king. V'loy dibura, in the way he talks, v'achovas piv, and the way he speaks, kiritzoynoi vum anshe beisoy kroiv of kidibura Moshe v'melech. The way a person talks, just with his close family, with his close friends, is very different than the way he would talk if he'd be standing before the king. Kolchkein, kal v'choyme, says the Rama, ki yosim adam eliboy, when a person puts in his heart, sha'amelech ha'godoy, the great king HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem aloi kol ha'oretz kvoidoy, that the whole world fills his covered, oymed alav v'roy b'maisav, sees everything, the person knows everything. We have to remember that at all times, shivitz Hashem l'nek disomid, k'mo yishenem, as it says, im yisoser ish b'mistorim, if a person tries to hide in hidden place from Ribono Shel Olam, v'ani lo yireno, and I will not see him, no Hashem, says Ribono Shel Olam, miyad, immediately, yagi alav ha'yiro, person will fear the Ribbono Shel Olam immediately. Ve'achno, and he'll be respectful and he'll be humbled. Be'pachad Hashem, the fear of the Ribbono Shel Olam is bach. Uvoshtim menu tamid, and he'll be afraid of the Ribbono Shel Olam. He'll be embarrassed in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Today it's very hard. We are so that the concept of Malchus, even here in England. So the concept of Malchus is very foreign to us, because the Malchus that we've got nowadays is not real Malchus. That's not real Malchus. It's very foreign to us. I heard from my Shver, who my father-in-law told me something really interesting, that he was just born just before the war, but his family, my Shver's family, managed to escape just before the war. And there was a very interesting episode. Had they managed to get the grandmother, she was in Denmark. She was somehow escaped there in the early 1930s, she escaped to Denmark. And my Schwer's, but the rest of the family, a part of the family had escaped away to Denmark. But the reins of the family was still in Germany. And they tried to get her, as the tension grew in the 1930s in Germany, they tried to get the rest of the family up to escape to Denmark as well. It wasn't easy because there was only a certain amount of visas, certainly amount of allowance of entries to allow into the country. And it was very hard. And Denmark had a king in those days. I don't even know his name. But I do know that with some major protection, I don't know how they managed, my Schwer's grandmother was allowed entry to the king to ask a special permission to allow that the rest of the family should be allowed into Denmark. I don't know what the protector was. That part of the family would be maybe interesting to know. Maybe that'd be useful for other. But they were allowed into the king. And they allowed into the king. And she was about to ask that I would like to bring the rest of the family into Denmark. But she wasn't able to. As she was allowed into the palace, she was just standing in front of the king. And this is a story going back 1930s, I'm not talking about hundreds of years ago. And the king, I think he had already probably, I don't know much history, but I imagine he had limited power, and limited authority already in those days. I'm not sure, but I suspect there wasn't a real royalty of the Middle Ages, I'm pretty sure. She was allowed in, into the king's room. And she wasn't able to ask. She wasn't able to ask because as soon as she was allowed to talk, she fainted on the spot. She fainted because she was standing before the king of Denmark. She fainted on the spot. She fainted on the spot and she couldn't ask. This is what royalty is all about. This is what royalty is all about. We have very little understanding that. It's very foreign to us. Us, it may be interesting or it may be something interesting to see and to observe, but the real fear of royalty, we don't really know what it's like. It's something that on Rosh Hashanah we should internalize as well. But this is what the Ramon means over here, that we should remember that when we're the king's servant, Ribbono Shel Olam's servants. Just to finish off before we break off for tonight, the king was truly impressed by this lady. And she was so impressed, said, you know what, that's the way that this family respects me, it's fine, they can all come.